Next is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st canto, 3rd chapter, text number 1 through 3, given by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, recorded in April of 1968 in San Francisco.
Sutta said, in the beginning of the creation, the Lord first of all expanded Himself in the universal form of Purusha incarnation, primarily with all the ingredients of material creation. And thus, at first, there was the creation of the 16 principles of material action. This was on the intention of creating the material universe. Purport. As it is said in the Bhagavad Gita that the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna maintains this material universe by extending his part of plenary expansion, so this Purusha form is the confirmation of the same principle. The original personality of Godhead Vasudev, our Lord Krishna, who is famous as the son of King of Vasudeva or King Nanda, the very same personality of Godhead is full with all opulences, all potencies, all fame, all beauty, all knowledge, and all renunciation. Part of his opulences is manifested as impersonal Brahman, and part of his opulences is manifested as Paramatma. This Purusha feature of the same personality of Godhead Sri Krishna is the original Paramatma manifestation of the Lord. There are three Purusha features in the matter of material creation. And this form, who is known as the Karma Bhaktashayi Vishnu, is the first of the three. The others are known as Garbha Bhaktashayi Vishnu and the Kira Bhaktashayi Vishnu, which we shall know one after another.
This Vishnu, Karma Bhaktashayi, Garbha Bhaktashayi, and Kira Bhaktashayi. These are little technical, try to understand. Now, this universe which you find just like a big ball, there are innumerable universes like this. And they are floating in water. That water is called causal ocean. That causal ocean, completing the whole ocean, big gigantic body is lying down there. That is known as Karnodoksai Vishnu. The Vishnu in that gigantic form is sleeping within the water of that causal ocean. And while he is inhaling and exhaling, breathing, there are bubbles. And those bubbles are manifested as universe. This is stated in Brahma Samhita, jasyaika nishkasita kalam athavalambya jivanti lomo vilaja jagadannanatha. That breathing, exhaling and inhaling, just like we also do that. So, we have inherited that exhaling, inhaling from that Vishnu. All these Brahmandas are universal. Each of them has a predominant deity. He is called Brahma. Brahmanda, the master of this Brahmanda is called Brahma. Now this duration of this Brahma, duration of life, is only the inhaling and exhaling period of Mahavishnu. When he is exhaling, all the Brahmandas are coming in existence. And when he is inhaling, they're all vanishing. This process is going on. And the Supreme Person who is doing this, I mean creation and dissolution, he is called Mahavishnu. Vishnu Mahansa Yajasya Kalavishesha Govindam Adipurusam Tavam Hayam. So, the reference is in the Brahma Samhita, that Mahavishnu is also part and parcel of Govinda Krishna. We just try to understand what is Krishna. Then go.
The innumerable universes are generated from skin holes of this Kamadakshayi Vishnu. And in each one of the universes, the Lord enters as Garbhodakshayi Vishnu.
Again, after creation of the universe, he enters each and every universe. This universe is filled with water, half. What you are saying, that is half only. And half is filled with water. In that water, Vishnu again lying, expanding. Vishnu's path. He can expand in innumerable identities. That is also confirmed in the Brahma Samhita. Advaita Achyuta Anadi Ananta Rupam. Ananta means undefined. And Rupam means form. Is expanding in unlimited number of forms. We are also expansion of these forms. This jiva, living entity, is expanding in two ways, samsa and vibhinna. Samsa means Vishnu. One expansion is just directly he himself. And another expansion is a separated from him. That separated from him, we are. We living entities, we are also living now. We are also part and parcel. But we are separated. Therefore, we have got the full potency of God. We have got potencies of God. The six potencies, namely, opulence, fame, strength, beauty, knowledge, and renunciation. We have also got this in minute one. Whatever we see here, the richest man in the world, that is only minute particle of the richness of God. Because we are part and parcel, minute part and parcel. Therefore, we have got all the opulences in minute form. Just like gold and a minute particle of gold. Chemically analyzed, the small particle of gold has got all the composition as the original big gold. The drop of sea water. Chemically, the drop of sea water has got all the composition as the big sea water. Similarly, we have got all the qualities of God, but in minute quantity. That is the difference between God and us. Or, in other words, you can study God also by studying yourself. Whatever propensities you have got, that is also there in God. Everything. Otherwise, where from it comes? Because I am part and parcel. If I have got all these propensities, naturally, in full, And without any inability, those things are present in God. Take for example, our love. Of course, it is perhaps a reflection of love. Several times I repeat it. In this material world, there is nothing like love. It is only everything perhaps a reflection of love. Just like we have got affection for children, that is there also. But that is without any inability. Here also, the same, man and woman, male and female, there is attraction between one another. Similarly, there is a Radha Krishna. But there is no inability. That is full, and that is perfect. Here it is imperfect due to material contamination. So everything, whatever we have got, Krishna is also God, that thing. But in Krishna, it is in perfection. In us, in our conditional state of life, it is imperfect. So, if we dovetail ourselves with Krishna, then our all these propensities become perfect. The same example as I have given repeatedly, that a car is running at 20 miles speed, a cyclist catches the car, he also runs in 20 miles speed. Although the cycle hasn't got such speed, similarly, although we are minute particles of God, if we dovetail ourselves with the consciousness of God, of Krishna consciousness, then we become equally speedy. This is the technique. One.
In the Bhagavad Gita, this is also mentioned that the material world is created at certain intervals, and then again it is destroyed. This creation and destruction is done by the Supreme Will on account of the conditioned soul, or the Nityabandhya, living being.
Nityabandhya, this word is also technical. Nityabandhya means ever conditioned. There are nitya mukta. Nitya mukta means ever liberated. In the spiritual world, there are also innumerable living entities. This material world is only one-fourth manifestation of Krishna's energy, God's energy. And the three-fourth energy is manifested in the spiritual world. So, you can just imagine that in one-fourth manifestation of energy of the law, we are so many living entities, which is impossible to count. Now, you can imagine how many more living entities are there. But here we are cognizant and they are liberated. Those who are cognizant, they are called nityabandha, ever conditioned. Nityabandha means we do not know when our this conditional state has begun. It is impossible to trace out the history. But we are cognizant. There is no doubt about it. Condition means no freedom. No freedom. As free souls, we are free. Sarvada. We can go everywhere, anywhere. Even those who get some mystic power by perfection of yoga practice, they can also exhibit some power. So, why? As we become free, from material conditions, our original freedom comes. So one of the qualifications of the spirit soul is sarvagam. Sarvagam means he can go anywhere and everywhere. But because you are conditional state, we are trying so much to go to the moon planet, we cannot go. But Narada, because he is free, he has got full spiritual body, he can go anywhere he likes. Go on.
The Nityapadya, or the eternally conditioned souls, have the sense of individuality, or ahamkara, which dictates them for sense enjoyment, which they are unable to have constitutionally. The Lord is the only enjoyer, and all others are enjoyed. The living beings are predominated enjoyer, but the eternally conditioned souls, forgetful of this constitutional position, have strong aspiration for enjoying. This chance of enjoying the matter is given to the conditioned souls in the material world, and side by side they are given the chance of understanding the real constitutional position. Those fortunate living entities who catch up the truth and surrender unto the lotus feet of Vasudeva after many, many births in the material world become one of the eternally liberated souls and thus are allowed to enter into the kingdom of Godhead.
So we can also become one of them, eternally liberated. But we are not admitted in the spiritual kingdom unless we have given up this false sense of lording it over the material nature. Yet, the conditioned soul, everyone is trying to become the lord, imitating. Everyone is trying. But there is class. You are trying to become lord, I am trying to become lord. There is class. In the spiritual world, the lord is one. And there is no competition of lording it over. Therefore, in the spiritual world, everything is unconditional. Freedom. Yes, go on.
After this, such fortunate living entities have no more to come within the occasional material creation. But those who cannot catch up the constitutional truth are again kept merged in the Mahatattva at the time of annihilation of the material creation. When the creation is again set up, this Mahatattva is again let loose. And this Mahatattva contains all the ingredients of material manifestation, including the conditioned soul. Primarily, this Mahatattva is divided into 16 parts, namely the 5 gross material elements and the 11 working instruments of our senses.
5 elements mean the sky, air, then fire, water, and earth. And 5 senses acquiring knowledge. Just like eye, ear, tongue, smelling, we are acquiring knowledge by this. And working 5 senses, there's a hand, leg, the genital, in this way. There are 5 working senses and 5 knowledge acquiring senses. And mind is the same. Therefore, 11. 11 plus 5 elements equal to 16.
It is like the cloud in a clear sky. In the spiritual sky, the effulgence of Brahman is spread all around, and the whole system is dazzling in spiritual light. The Mahatattva is assembled in some corner of that vast and limited spiritual sky, and the part which thus is covered by the Mahatattva is called the material sky. This part of the spirit...
This is also very important. The sky is one. Just like we can experience the sky. And suppose the sky on San Francisco is overcast with clouds. We say that we are covered in clouds. Practically, this San Francisco sky is only a fragmental portion of the whole sky. Similarly, real sky is a spiritual sky, parabrahma. When that parabrahma partially is clouded with mahatattva, that is all material. This is a position of material world. Material world is also existing in the spiritual world, but it is covered and in a fragmental segment.
This part of the spiritual sky, called the Mahatattva, is only an insignificant portion of the whole spiritual sky. And within this Mahatattva, there are innumerable universes. All these universes, collectively, is produced by the karna vashayi Vishnu, called also the Mahavishnu, who simply throws his glance only to impregnate the spiritual sky to manifest. Text 2. Translation. Another plenary part of the Purusha is lying down within the water of the universe from the navel lake of his body, which has sprouted the lotus stem, which is the body of the universe. And on the top, from the lotus flower, Brahma, the master of all engineers of the universe, is generated. Support. The first Purusha is the Karna Vakrashayi Vishnu. From the skin holes of him, innumerable universes have sprung up. In each and every one of them, the Purusha enters as the Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. He is lying in half portion of the universe, full with water of his body. And from the navel of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu has sprung up the stem of the lotus flower, the birthplace of Brahma, who is the father of all living beings and the master of all the demigod engineers, engaged in the matter of perfect design and working of the universal order. Within the stem of the lotus, there are 14 divisions of planetary system, and the earthly planets are situated in the middle. Upwards, there are other better planetary systems, and the topmost system is called Brahmaloka, or the Satyaloka. Downwards, the earthly planetary system, there are 7 downward planetary systems, domiciled by the Asuras and similar other more materialistic living beings. From this Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, there is expansion of the Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, who is the collective Paramatma of all living beings. He is called Hari, and from him all incarnations within the universe are expanded.
Yes, this Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is the father of Brahma, who has created all these innumerable planets. And in one of the planets, there is Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. In that planet, the ocean is of milk. There are different kinds of ocean, as we get information from Vedic literature. As we have got here, the ocean of water. Similarly, there is ocean of milk, there is ocean of oil, there is just like you have got oil within us. Similarly, in those planets there are oil ocean, milk ocean. So there is one planet within this universe which has got ocean of milk. And in that milk ocean, there is another Vishnu, which is called Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. Kshira means milk, and Udak means water.
Therefore, the conclusion is that the Purusha avatar is manifested in three teachers, namely, first, the Karnadakshaya, who create aggregate material ingredients in the Mahatattva. Second, the Garbhodakshaya, who enters in each and every universe, And third, in Sri Rudrakshaya Vishnu, who is the Paramatma of every material object, organic or inorganic.
This Sri Rudrakshaya Vishnu is in everyone's heart. He is also sitting with me. In the heart, I, a spirit soul, am sitting there. And Sri Rudrakshaya Vishnu as Paramatma, as guiding super soul, he is also sitting in the same position. One is, it is stated in the Upanishad that two birds are sitting in one tree. One bird is eating the fruit and the other bird is simply witnessing. So, Sri Rudrakshaya Vishnu as Paramatma, he is witnessing the activities of the individual soul. And according to the activities of the individual soul, he is getting the necessary results. He is witness. In the Bhagavad Gita, also it is confirmed, Hanumanta Upadrashya. Upadrashya means witness. Suppose you are doing something, I have nothing to do with your activities, but I can see and think what you are doing. So he is Upadrashya. And Anumanta. Anumanta means the individual soul cannot do anything without the sanction of the super soul. Either he may do something good or bad, but it has to be taking sanction from the super soul. Just like there is an English version that not a grass moves without the sanction of God. So, without sanction of God, we cannot do anything. You may say that when we do something bad, why God gives us sanction? God does not give us sanction, but we force Him to give us sanction. That's what He gives us. Otherwise, He does not give sanction. But because we want to do it persistently, so God gives us sanction, all right, you can do it. And you have to enjoy or suffer the result. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, the last instruction is that sarva-dharmān parityajya māmekam saraṇam bhava. Don't try to do according to your way. You just surrender unto me. Abide by me. Then I shall give you all protection. But if you want to do according to your own way, and if you do not hear me, what can I do? You do and enjoy the result. Suppose a foolish boy is trying to touch fire. Father says, don't do it. In spite of that, if the foolish boy does it, his hand is burned, the father is not responsible. He says, don't do it. But the child does it out of ignorance and suffers. Similarly, the sanction of God is there as he persists on. I want this, I want this. That the child sometimes cries and the mother is obliged to sanction. Similarly, God is very kind. If we persist on doing something, He gives us sanction, but the result, you have to suffer or enjoy.
One who knows these plenary features of the personality of Godhead knows also Him, Godhead, properly, and thus the knower becomes free from the material conditions of birth, death, old age, and diseases, as it is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. In this sloka, the subject matter of Mahavishnu is summarized. The Mahavishnu lies down in some part of the spiritual sky by his own free will, and thus he does lie on the ocean of Karana, from where he glances over his material nature and the Mahatattva that once created. Thus, electrified by the power of the Lord, the material nature creates at once innumerable universes, just like in due course a tree is decorated with innumerable grown-up fruits all at a time. The seed of the tree is sown by the cultivator, and the tree or creeper in due course becomes manifested with so many fruits. Nothing can take place without a cause. The Karana ocean is therefore called the causal ocean. Karana means causal. We should not foolishly accept the theory of creation by the atheist without any cause. The description of such atheists is given in the Bhagavad Gita. The atheist does not believe in the Creator, neither he can give any good explanations of the theory of creation. Material nature has no power to create.
The atheist class of man, they do not agree to accept that this material world is created by God. They give some reason of their own way of thinking, and most of the arguments are perhaps like this. What is this nonsense, perhaps? Is that science, perhaps? So, they have no sufficient reason that there is no creator. In everything we find, there is a creator. Anything you take, for example, this table, there is a creator. Somebody has manufactured it. This microphone, somebody has created. Anything you take, you have to find out some creator. And such a vast, gigantic thing, going on so nicely and punctually, the sun is rising punctually, the moon is rising punctually, the fortnight is going on, the season is turning punctually, everything. And the why there should be no creator or no superintendent? That answer is there in the Bhagavad Gita. Maya dhasena prakriti svati satcharasaram. Under my superintendent. So if we accept this, then the whole problem is solved. But if we don't accept it, then we have to speculate, but we never to come to the right conclusion how this creation began. That is not possible to understand by such way.
Material nature has no power to create without the power of the Purusha, as much as a prakriti or woman cannot produce any child without the connection of a Purusha. The Purusha impregnates and the prakriti delivers. We should not expect milk from the fleshy bag of the neck of the goat, although they look like the breastly nipples. Similarly, we should not expect any creative power from the material ingredient. We must believe in the power of the Purusha who impregnates the prakriti, our nature. And because the Lord wished for lying down in meditation, the material energy created innumerable universes also at once, and in each of them the Lord laid himself down, and thus all the science and the different paraphernalia were created at once by the will of the Lord. The Lord has unlimited potencies, and as such he can perform as he likes, in perfect planning, although personally he has nothing to do, and nobody is greater or equal to him.
In the Bible also it is said, God said, let there be creation, and there was creation. That means God is the origin of creation. Yes, God.
That is the verdict of the Veda. Text number 3. Translation. It is conceived as that all the universal planetary systems are situated on the extensive bodily features of the Purusha, but he has nothing to do with the created material ingredient.
This is universal form of the law, Virata Purusha. Here is also. This is more or less imaginary. But Virata Purusha, just like Arjuna was shown the Virata Purusha, universal form. That is not eternal. That was causal, temporary, for the time being. It was shown to you. Yes.
His body is eternally in spiritual existence prior to love. Therefore, the conception of Virata-rupa or Vishva-rupa of the Supreme Absolute Truth is specially meant for the neophyte materialist who can hardly think of the transcendental form of the personality of Godhead. To them, a form means something of this material world, and as such, an opposite conception of the Absolute is necessary for them in the beginning to concentrate their minds in the power extension of the Lord. As stated above, the Lord extends His potency in the form of Mahatattva, which includes all material ingredients. The extension of power by the Lord and the Lord Himself personally are one in one sense, but at the same time, the Mahatattva is different also from the Lord. Therefore, the potency of the Lord and the Lord are non-different. The conception of the Virata Rupa, especially for the impersonalist, is thus non-different from the eternal form of the Lord. This eternal form of the Lord exists prior to the creation of the Mahatattva, and it is stressed here that the eternal form of the Lord is
perfect. It is just like in the Bible it is said, God says, let there be creation. That means before the creation, before this material creation, God was there. And material, there was nothing material, therefore God's body cannot be material. Because He existed before the creation of man. So, before creation of matter, there was nothing like matter. God was there. There was confusion is that God has no material body. He spoke, let there be creation. He spoke means He is a person. Otherwise, how He can speak? But His personality is not material, because when He spoke, there was no material creation. Therefore, persons with less intelligence, they cannot understand that God's body is not matter. They think that anything has got a body is matter. But that is not the case. The real thing is that God has got body, but not material body. And it is confirmed in the Brahma Samhita that Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha. His body is eternal, full of bliss, and full of knowledge. Just opposite. We have got this body which is neither eternal, nor full of bliss, nor full of knowledge. This body is full of ignorance and full of misery and temporary. Therefore, God hasn't got a body like this. When in the Vedic literature it is said that God has no body, that does not mean that He has no body. He has no body like this body, material body. Apani Padas Javanam Grihita. The Vedic literature says like this, that God has no leg, no hand. That would impersonally take advantage of it. So here it is stated, God has no leg, no hand. But the next line is, Javanam Grihita. He can accept everything which you offer Him in devotion. Now how He can accept? He has no hand. How He can accept things from us? That means, He hasn't got a hand like us. His hand is different. Therefore, even though He is situated in the spiritual world, which is far, far away from us, and still, He says, in the Bhagavad Gita, He says, taya bhaktya bhuhitam hasnami prajatatmanah patram pushpam phalam suyam jumi bhaktya prajeshati. Krishna says that a little flower or little water or a little leaf, whatever my devotee offers me in love and devotion, I accept it. And taya bhaktya bhuhitam, and because he has brought it with great devotion, therefore I eat. Taya bhaktya bhuhitam asnami. Asnami means I eat. Now, you can say, alright, I offer these fruits and flowers to God, but it is the same, it is remaining. How is it? Well, his eating is not like my eating, because he hasn't got a body like this. This body is material. If you give me a plate of fruit, this body immediately swallows. But he has got spiritual body. He eats simply as soon as he knows that you have offered him devotion, he eats immediately. So these are technical of understanding, and we can know it from Vedic literature. Just like in the Vedas we say, Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Bhavishya. We cannot imagine Purna means full. If you take full from the full, it still balance is full. That is the spiritual calculation. Just like you have got $100, and I take $100 from him, and still you have got $100. And this is beyond material conception. Here 1 minus 1 = 0. And in the spiritual world, 1 minus 1 = 1. Here 1 plus 1 = 2, and the spiritual world 1 plus 1 = 1. So these things are very subtle. As we make progress in spiritual understanding, just like how Krishna can eat from such a distant place. No, Krishna is everywhere. He is in you. So he eating process is different. Because his body is spiritual. Purnasya Purnamadaya. You can take the whole thing, it's still 1 minus 1 = 1. It's still the Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva. What is your question?
I was going to ask if the rose colored light that we see around the pool was being offered up.
You can ask after we have finished. Not within the lecture, you cannot ask. What is that?
The eternal form of the Lord is par excellence spiritual, or transcendental to the most of its material nature. The very same transcendental form of the Lord is manifested by His internal potency, and the formation of His multivariate manifestation of incarnations are always of the same transcendental quality, without any touch of the Mahatattva. Text number 4.
Yes, sir. Now, what is your question?
We offered food up one time to Krishna.
Fruit?
Yeah, fruit.
Yes.
To Krishna. And while we were offering up, and we raised our heads and looked at the food, we saw a rose-colored light that was vibrating all around the food. Is this how he eats?
He eats. How he eats? That you can understand when you make an announcement to that. He, for the time being, you just take it for granted that he eats. How he eats, that is not possible, because you cannot see him, and how can you see that how he is? So that requires spiritual vision and spiritual understanding. But he eats, he takes it. Because in the Bhagavad Gita he says that I eat. Asmani. Asmani means I eat.